So we can tell, you know, we can tell if you can play at the next level, even if you're not having the best day that one day. But it's all about how you carry yourself, how you speak to each other, how you run on and off the field, how you, you know, how you take your at-bats, how you play your defense. It's a lot. And, you know, you don't have to have your best day offensively that one time that somebody's there. It's really the actions around it that we can really tell whether you're built for that next level or not.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the world's favorite youth baseball podcast, Clearing the Bases, featuring Coach Jimmy Filangieri. I'm David Friedman. I want to thank you for coming along on this ride with us.
We report in April, usually the middle of April, and we only have 10 days of spring training. At the end of the day, these guys are professionals. So, you know, they have all offseason to be ready and come in and compete. They should know what they're doing. So we have 10 days of spring training, which we'll usually kind of scrimmage either ourselves or Gastonia, which is about an hour and a half south of us. And then we go right into it. So we start towards the end of April and we go all the way through September. And then, you know, we'll have our playoffs, and it's structured a little bit differently in the Atlantic League as compared to other leagues. We do it by the halves because it is such a revolving door. You know, if you win the first half of your division, you're automatically in the playoffs no matter what you do in the second half. And same thing with the second half.
Independent baseball. I got to tell you, I really didn't know much about independent baseball. I mean, I knew it existed. I knew it was out there, and I knew it was a place where guys can continue playing baseball. They could, you know, extend their careers. But I really didn't know much about it. So Bert Gonzalez, at the time he was with the High Point Rockers, but since we recorded the show, Bert has gone on to become the manager of the New Jersey Jackals in independent baseball. I just thought that this was a good thing to do to, you know, basically just show everybody that there is another option if you don't make it to minor league baseball, or if you were in minor league baseball and you were released, or for whatever reason you want to continue your career, that there is another option for you in independent baseball. And what better person to have on than Bert Gonzalez, because he's the one who started what's called Indie Ball Jobs, which is a place where players who want to keep playing can go to try and get on one of these independent teams. It's pretty interesting. So let's get into it with Bert. So, everybody, tonight we have a special guest. We have Bert Gonzalez of the High Point Rockers of the Atlantic League in independent baseball. How you doing tonight, Bert?
I'm doing well, Jimmy. I appreciate you having me on the show, and yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you reached out to me, and I thought it was pretty interesting. Somebody from Indie Ball, I think, you know, like we had discussed a little bit before we started recording, it's a little bit out of my comfort zone, so this is a challenge for me, so I'm excited to do it. So,
no, this is awesome, yep.
Talk to me a little bit about your Indie Ball Jobs. What's that all about?
So Indie Ball Jobs, it kind of started as an idea of just trying to help some undrafted guys get to the next level of professional baseball. It all started with discovering Frank Nigro. Actually, he's from Rockland County, New York. I was at a Division II Pro Day as the only independent guy there back in 2018. And I remember just watching him behind the plate and just the way he moved and the way he carried himself. And I figured, all right, that kid is getting drafted. They were, you know, every major league team was there, and you know, he was very impressive. He was probably the one impressive guy out of that entire group. And you know, fast forward into my first season with the High Point Rockers in the Atlantic League, which is more of a veteran, a veteran league. In the middle of the season, we had our catcher was signed by the Giants, and our backup catcher was hurt, so we needed a catcher pretty badly. It was my first year in the league, and you know, my manager was looking for anybody. And, you know, I kind of said, I saw this kid and I'm pretty sure he got drafted, but I can make some phone calls, see what he's doing. And, you know, long story short, he was not drafted. He joined us for what was supposed to be just a weekend. He played very well. He ended up lasting the entire season. And, you know, a year later, he was picked up by the Minnesota Twins, and he's been in AAA with them. And, That kind of gave me that big idea of, you know, I'm in a position now where I can make a difference and kind of grow the game and grow independent baseball and help these guys out. And, you know, he was the inspiration for it. And, you know, now we've helped over 100 players sign professionally since we started in 2020. And we're really proud of it, and we're growing. And I'm just here to, you know, speak about independent baseball and try to grow it and let these undrafted guys know that there is an opportunity out there to continue your career.
So then the Indie Ball Jobs is that website that website is for players. See, when I first saw it, I thought that it was like for people that maybe front office help or coaches or managers, that it would be that type of thing, Indie Ball Jobs. But no, it's for players.
Yep. So it's for players looking for a job in independent baseball. You know, but we do help coaching staffs and managers as well. We just got two of our first managers, you know, signed in the Frontier League and one in the Pioneer League. You know, as you know, the further we go along, the more connections we make, the bigger our network, and it won't just be for the players, but just any kind of independent jobs that there are out there. If we're able to help and have those connections, we're more than happy to help.
So let me understand this too. With independent baseball, it has started to grow more because of the realignment that they did with minor league baseball. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So there's four major league partnered leagues now. So you have the Pioneer League, the Frontier League, the American Association, and the Atlantic League. And we're all partners with Major League Baseball. You know, the draft was shortened about half the rounds to 20 rounds. And, you know, there's a lot of guys out there without a job. And you know, a league like the Pioneer League was an affiliate league for many, many years. And, you know, with that whole alignment in minor league baseball losing out on 40 affiliates or whatever the case was, they were able to create that entire league for independent baseball. So it is growing, and it has become a legitimate opportunity to get to the big leagues, or for a guy that had been to the big leagues to try and get back after he's released.
Okay, so what's the process like? I mean, you know, typically scouts will look at kids, high school, college, they'll draft them right out of those areas. How does it work with indie ball? So in other words, it could be somebody that actually played professionally who, like you said, is looking to get back in. Or, I mean, could it be like a high school kid that didn't get looks from colleges or drafted or any looks anywhere, and maybe he thinks he's good enough, he could try out? Is that the way that works?
I mean, I've never heard of a high school kid making that jump from high school to independent baseball. It's mostly for undrafted college players, as well as players who had been drafted, played in the minor leagues, or played in the big leagues and had gotten released and looking for another opportunity to get signed again. But yeah, I have not heard of a high school kid. Usually, especially with indie ball jobs, we have gotten a lot of high school kids reach out to try and help them get to the independent level. But we always tell them, if you have any kind of college eligibility, we always try and recommend that you go that route first.
Yeah, that would make sense. But again, you know, not knowing much about it, I just wasn't sure, you know, how the progression works. So if you're a college player and you don't go drafted, but you think you are, then those are the guys that would come to indie ball, along with guys that maybe played in the minors and got released. Is that right?
Correct, yes. And it is professional baseball. These guys are getting paid. It is a high level. So just because you played in college doesn't really necessarily mean that you will find that opportunity in independent baseball. But there are a bunch of players out there that are legit professional players that are kind of falling through the cracks, especially with the draft being so small now, and just looking for an opportunity to get their foot in the door and try and reach that ultimate goal, which is the big leagues.
So does independent ball get the recognition, say, like colleges do? Or so again, if I guess what I'm trying to get at is, if let's say there's a major league team and they want to go out and they're looking for talent, whatever, for their lower levels, whatever, and would they come to an indie ball game to watch you guys play, to pick players up?
Absolutely. I mean, we have you know, every organization has a independent league scouting department, so you know, we get scouts at every single one of our games from all different major league organizations. It is a legitimate opportunity. Guys are getting picked out of independent ball nonstop. You know, just on the Rockers side of it, since 2019. I don't have the exact number, but I'm pretty sure we've gotten over 20 to 25 guys picked up to major league organizations, and about five or six of them have reached the big leagues since playing with us. And that's just our team. And you hear about it throughout all of independent baseball. That's the ultimate goal. There is a buyout. So Major League Baseball, they do have to buy the player's contract. It is a business. So it does benefit the independent team as well. And we've done a pretty good job in High Point of getting those guys those opportunity. And sometimes it sucks because you don't want to lose your best players, right? But that's why we're here, and we enjoy watching them go out to that next level and try and get back to the big leagues. And like I said, we've had about five or six guys make it to the big leagues. And we just had this past season, Kyle Bearclaw was the first one in High Point Rockers history to start with the Rockers, get picked up midway through the season, and make the big leagues all in the same season. So that was pretty special from seeing him in the Rockers uniform. And then, just a month or two later, he was at Fenway Park starting for the Boston Red Sox.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yep. So that's what we strive for, and that's the goal. That's why we're here. It's really to, obviously, number one is we want to win, but at the same time, we want to take care of our guys and get them to that next level.
Okay. So if I understand it right, there's five independent ball leagues. Is that right, or is there more than that?
So there are four partner leagues, and then there are a few developmental leagues. There's the USPBL. There's the Pecos League, there's the Empire League, and there's a few other leagues in between there that's kind of more developmental. But in terms of the partner leagues, it's the Pioneer League, Frontier League, American Association, and the Atlantic League. And it's usually those leagues, too, it depends on experience and age. So, for example, the Atlantic League, where the Rockers are, we tend to have mostly guys that have already double A, triple A, and big league experience, and are a little bit older. So our average age would be anywhere between 28 to 32. Where, for example, the Pioneer League, which is more of the less experienced and the youngest league, usually those are the guys that are right out of college, undrafted, very good players, just kind of fell through the cracks.
Okay. And roughly how many teams in each league, in the four major leagues?
I would say anywhere between 10 to 16.
Wow.
Between all the league, each league would have, for example, the Atlantic League has 10 teams.
Wow. All right. It's a lot more than I thought it was. And again, like I said, I'm shooting from the hip a lot here because I don't know much about independent ball. I mean, I know it exists and I've heard things about it, but I really have never talked to somebody like yourself that knows the actual ins and outs of it.
And that's great because that's why I'm here. And that's why, I want to come on this podcast to kind of grow the game and grow independent baseball.
Awesome. So what's it like compared to, say, minor league baseball? Now, I know that the running joke with minor league baseball is that you're constantly on buses traveling and the lifestyle is not the best and stuff like that. How does indie ball compare? Similar?
It's very similar. Very long bus trips. We play every single day. We have a 134 game schedule, I believe, in our league. Every other league is 100 game schedule, so it is every single day. It's a grind. We don't get paid great. It's for that dream of one day reaching the big leagues. But it's very, very similar. The facilities. It all depends on where you go as well. Obviously, there's some very nice facilities that are about double A, triple A caliber. And then you have some that are a little bit older that were minor league facilities, back in the early 2000s and the 90s that are a little bit more run down, but still about, single A to double A caliber facilities. But yeah, it's the same kind of grind as the minor leagues. It's at the end of the day, it's still professional baseball, just like affiliate ball is, just getting paid a little bit less, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, long bus rides, pre-game, post-game meals, whatever we get our hands on, and meal money. And, it's not, you always say if you don't like it, play in the big leagues. But it's kind of one of those things where these guys, it's for the love of the game, too. They love this game. The guys that are playing independent baseball, for the most part, they just love it. We love going out there and grinding every single day. And these are our small communities where these teams are located. And which is a lot of fun. We take a lot of pride in that, and the fans have been great, and everybody's very prideful.
Right, that was going to be my next question is, you know, what kind of support do you get? I know, and again, I know that in Rockland County, where you're from, you have the Boulders, right? That's an independent team, correct?
Correct. That's actually where I started my career. I was there in 2017, 2018, and I actually started with the Boulders as a host family when I was in college, their first 2 years of existence. I grew up right down the street from the ballpark there, and then I got an opportunity to live out my dream job, and I was their manager in 2020 during the COVID season. They brought me back from High Point for that shortened season, and yeah, there's a team there, and that ballpark it's a beautiful ballpark, and you know what everybody says, it's kind of like a double A caliber ballpark, and it's right there in that small town of Pomona in Rockland County, and I remember going as a fan, and we really embraced it and we loved it, and it continues to go that way to this day.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's got to be a high level of baseball, so that would attract people. And if you don't want to take a run down to Yankee Stadium or down to Citi Field, you have it right in your backyard. I mean, I know, like, where I am, we have the Renegades, and although that's, you know, that's a minor league baseball team, I'm sure it's kind of the same atmosphere with a local team that you could support.
Right, and it's family-friendly, and it's affordable, and you know, a lot of these families, they go ahead and they get season tickets, and a lot of them open up their doors to their homes and become host families, as I did back in 2011 with the Boulders, and it becomes a big family in a sense. And we're always seeing the same familiar faces every single day, and it's great. We love it, and the fans love it, and that's what makes it beautiful.
Awesome. So give me an idea of your path. Did you play college ball?
Yeah, so I did play at High Point University in North Carolina. It's just a small world that I'm back in High Point. Never thought that would happen. The High Point Rockers were not around when I was in college. And yeah, I was one of those guys that kind of fell through the cracks as well. I was eventually cut in college, stayed there, really thought my career was going to be over. And then I got an opportunity to go play overseas in Spain once I graduated from college. So that's kind of where I started my professional baseball journey and kind of opened my eyes as well, because prior to that experience, I had no idea that there was baseball outside realistically of the United States or Northern America and South America. But yeah, there are leagues out there in Europe, and there are opportunities. And also that's what Indie Ball Jobs brings as well, is we're trying to open up the door and educate players that there are opportunities everywhere around the world, not just here in the United States, and not just independent baseball as well, for you to continue your career and who knows from there.
Great. So now, I know that it's at a certain level right now, but do you see that in the future that maybe it's going to expand, that indie ball is going to get bigger, or is that what you're trying to do by promoting it?
Absolutely. I mean, independent baseball is only going to grow. Every league has been growing. There's been new expansion teams every year. I know there's going to be a couple more in the Atlantic League in the next couple of years, as well as other leagues. And they just created the MLB Draft League as well, which is taken over by a bunch of minor league stadiums that were left with that with the Major League Baseball deal. And that's just another opportunity for undrafted college guys before the draft to go over there and play and compete, and they get to play at these great facilities, and it's kind of a great foot in the door to see what professional baseball, minor league baseball is like. So it is continuing to expand, and it will continue to expand as long as Major League Baseball keeps those keeps that draft small and all those affiliate teams are gone. It's going to continue to expand.
All right. So in your opinion, what would you say the toughest thing about playing indie ball is?
I mean, it's just the jump from one level to the next. And then, you know, you don't get the same kind of accommodations that a Major League Baseball organization will give you, in a sense. And it is kind of cutthroat, because if you are to get released in independent baseball, there really is nowhere else to go. And that's kind of where your career would end. In a sense. So, you know, there is that kind of pressure and, you know, like I said, it's a huge jump. If you're an undrafted college guy, especially if you're going to come into the American Association or the Atlantic League, which is more of a veteran league, you know, you're going from a college to playing against former AAA big league guys and, you know, you can kind of get exposed quickly or you can learn, there's kind of both ways there, but, Yeah, it is cutthroat, and it's one of those things where you got to perform early and see if you can hang.
Yeah, because that's the reason why I asked that question, is because that's something that I've heard many, many times about independent ball, is that you could be there one day, you could be gone the next.
Exactly.
That's got to be tough to play under that type, that type of pressure.
And it all depends too. There, some organizations, they'll give you more of a chance. Some are pretty cutthroat, and there's a revolving door until they find the right fit. And it's one of those things where, you're more valuable if you have a car. You better have a car, because you can go from one town and get released and, get another opportunity, get in your car, drive 12 hours away and see if you can make that team. And we've done that in High Point, especially with the younger guys that come through our team, knowing, and we always try and communicate that with them. Hey, listen, kid, you're here for a week or a month or whatever the case is. That's our plan. But if you do well, we're gonna try and help you find a job. And that's kind of where where indie ball jobs comes into play as well, through our connections and our network. So if you're a kid right out of college and you come to our team, and we literally tell you you're here for a series. But once you're done here, get in the car and drive up to New York. You're going to be with the Boulders tomorrow, in a sense. And it's kind of that lifestyle.
Wow, that's tough.
And that's why I always tell my players, you better love it, because if you don't love it, it's not worth it.
Yeah, but then again, most players that are at that level, whether it be college baseball, minor league baseball, independent ball, all of the guys that make it to those levels are grinders. They're committed to
right,
it.
Yep.
Anyway,
you're
not going to take your average baseball player or I'll say your average high school baseball player, or even maybe your average college player, and expect them to be that type of grinder. That's a special person to keep doing that.
It is. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. You have to be a grinder. You got to love it. And it takes a special person to do it. And kind of you're kind of betting on yourself and taking a chance on yourself. Because once again, the money, it's not good money. And, you're basically taking a chance on yourself to make it to the big leagues.
Right, but you're also believing in yourself, which is important.
Exactly.
And it's something that we struggle with trying to teach players that, number one, you do have to be a grinder. That's pretty much number one. I mean, if you're not busting it every minute of every practice and every game, well, then, what are you doing? Why are you here? Yep.
The game will recycle you, and they'll find those grinders and allow them to continue and try and get that opportunity.
Exactly. And to teach high school players persistence and believing in yourself, like we were talking about, again, it's hard for us to do. It's not something that I always struggle with a little bit, whether or not that's something that we can teach players, or is it inherent that, there's just guys that are just tough like yourself that will go play college baseball. Like you said, you got cut from college, but you went and played in Spain, and then you didn't give up from that, and then you went and you played indie ball. That's a special trait that a lot of people have that.
And it wasn't easy. I try and tell my story to a lot of guys, and it wasn't easy. Sometimes, they see me now and what I can do with independent baseball and indie ball jobs, but that was a 10-year process. And there were times where I was starving, and just eating what I can at the stadium, and then, it was crazy. And it all started to in independent baseball in the United States. My first opportunity with the Boulders was as a bullpen catcher. I mean, you can only imagine what it's like, a life as a bullpen catcher at one of the lower levels of independent baseball. It was one of those things, but it was a dream come true for me. So I loved it. And I love that grind. And it is something that was kind of built in me. And, but it is a long process, and you got to kind of see the big picture. And you got to just stick with it. And you never know where it can take you. And that's what I always tell my guys. You never know. Like, for example, I never expected to go to Europe to play baseball and get paid for it and have that experience. I mean, never in my mind did I ever think that would happen. And it did. And because I stuck with it and I just found that opportunity, and it just kind of fell in my lap. And then, that kind of opened up the door from there. So sometimes it's get your foot in the door, and you just never know. You never know where it can take you. And for example, that's that Frank Nigro kid who I saw at that pro day in 2018. And that day right there, I didn't speak to him. I thought he was going to get drafted, and he wasn't going to independent baseball at all. And it's one of those things as well where, you know, as a coach, you're always going to say, especially to high school kids, you don't know who's watching. That day, Frank Nigro didn't know I was watching. I didn't know I was watching Frank Nigro in a sense, and it kind of all fell together. And now we're, you know, he's like a little brother to me. We speak constantly, and he's in AAA now. And he's, you know, I watch him on TV and spring training big league games, and it's just phenomenal. And that's kind of the big picture where I want to see all my guys that come through and be able to see them on TV and just know that, you know, everything that I was able to do by going to Spain and by grinding as a bullpen catcher, it wasn't just for me. It was kind of for that next generation coming up where, you know, I struggled a little bit, but I was able to open up that door for those guys.
Yeah. I love what you said about, you know, you have to play like, you know, you never know who's watching you. Because, again, that's another thing that we try to hammer home all the time. And you just never know. I mean,
you just don't.
And trying to teach young players that, you know, your body language is important. How you handle the situation after you made an error. How you handle a situation after you struck out. To make them understand that you have to be able to, you know, don't get me wrong, you could be upset about it for a few minutes, but you got to be able to put it behind. And if somebody is in the stands, whether it be a recruiter, an indie ball guy, whatever, a major league scout, you can't, in other words, you have to play every single day like that guy is watching you, because you don't know when he's there.
Absolutely. And when it comes to indie ball jobs, we put on a lot of showcases and a lot of events, and that's a, you know, that's tough for guys. You know, you're taking a chance on one day, and you better have your best day on that one day. But you know, we've been doing this a long time. My staff has been around for very long. I mean, my guys have been in professional baseball for 20, 30, 40 years. So we can tell, you know, we can tell if you can play at the next level, even if you're not having the best day that one day. But it's all about how you carry yourself, how you speak to each other, how you run on and off the field, how you, you know, how you take your at bats, how you play your defense. It's a lot. And you know, you don't have to have your best day offensively that one time that somebody's there. It's really the actions around it that we can really tell whether you're built for that next level or not.
Right. It's the intangibles. We talk about it all the time. It's the intangibles, because again, whatever level you're at, you know, if you're a indie ball caliber player, well, all of the guys that are playing that are the same caliber talent wise. Okay. So if you don't have those intangibles, okay, you may have the talent, but if you don't have those intangibles, well, then somebody's going to take that spot, and you're not going to get it because, you know, you struck out, you slammed your bat on the ground, you threw your helmet or something like that. Well, there's another guy who has the same ability as you. Okay, he struck out, and he grabbed his bat, and he ran back to the dugout. I'm taking that guy who ran back to the dugout every time.
Absolutely. When you get to a certain level, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of players that want your job and are coming after your job. And it's, what are you going to do to keep it? You know what I mean? And that's what we kind of try and preach to our guys. And it's the same thing at every single level. You know, we're all looking for the same thing. And sometimes it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to have all the talent in the world. But, you know, if you play hard and you know, you can prove that you help the team to win and you're a good clubhouse guy, that's one of the biggest things too. When I'm looking for a new player, we're always trying to do our homework. We're going to reach out to 2, 3, 4 of our connections that may have run into this player. And the first question we're going to ask is, how is he in the clubhouse? Especially at this level, you know, we're with each other every single day for 6 months. So it doesn't matter if you played in the big leagues for 10 years. If we hear that, you know, this guy, he was a pain everywhere he went. Yeah, he's good, but he's a pain. Then, you know, we're going to pass on him for sure, because we'll find somebody else that has that great presence, that plays hard, that wants to win. And trying to get to that next level.
So that brings me to something else that you just made me think of, is how do you get your players?
I mean, word of mouth, tryouts, agents, you know, we're constantly getting phone calls from agents. You know, our players will always refer their former teammates. For example, if somebody was in, I don't know, the Yankees organization for a few years, and one of his buddies from the Yankees organization or someone he played against was just released, well, that player would come into our office and kind of refer them. And we're always constantly looking for new players, whether it's for right now or maybe a week from now. because especially in independent baseball, it's like I said, it's a revolving door. You could be here one day and the next day you're gone, and we need to find that replacement. So that's kind of my job too. On the Rockers, I am the director of player procurement. So in college terms, I would be the recruiting coordinator. And, you know, I'm constantly looking at the transactions from every single league, from minor league baseball, looking at the release list. If I see somebody that's released and kind of fits the criteria of what we're looking for, I look at his baseball reference. I see where he's played in the past. I've been around for 10 years now in professional baseball, so I know somebody that knows him somehow, some way. We will find a connection there. And, you know, that's when you start asking questions, doing your homework, you know, looking at their stats, looking at their numbers, and trying to piece that missing puzzle, missing piece of the puzzle, in a sense. But there is a lot that goes into it in terms of finding players. We'll any means necessary to find a good player that'll fit.
I was going to say, because it to me, you know, on the outside looking in, it seems like that would be, you know, a daunting task, because it. Any other level, it seems to me like there's not that revolving door immediately, okay? So
right.
Whatever you get, you know, you commit to a college, well, you're going to be there at least for that year. You know, things may change after that, I understand, but it seems like you guys could change players day to day.
Day to day, yep. And that's where I come into play, where I'm constantly looking, for players. You know, that's another reason why I built Indie Ball Jobs. I have an endless list of players that could potentially not only fit our team, but fit different teams from all different leagues. You know, we have gotten that kind of reputation where now I'm getting phone calls from coaches and managers from different leagues. Hey, you guys have a shortstop, or you guys have a pitcher. And, you know, I'll look at my list and I'll either tell them that we have it or we don't. You know what I mean? I'm not just trying to move a player just to move them. But I'm trying to find a home for these players where they're going to have their best chances of success. And it is a big family in independent baseball. We all kind of know each other. We all try and help each other out as well.
So what does a typical season look like? When does it start? You know, how do you get ready for the season? Take me through from the, you know, the moment you start till, I don't know, is there, I'm sure there's some type of playoff structure.
Right. So for the Atlantic League, I'll run you through the Atlantic League. We report in April, usually the middle of April, and we only have 10 days of spring training. At the end of the day, these guys are professionals. So, you know, they have all offseason to be ready and come in and compete. They should know what they're doing. So we have 10 days of spring training, which we'll usually kind of scrimmage either ourselves or Gastonia, which is about an hour and a half south of us. And then we go right into it. So we start towards the end of April, and we go all the way through September. And then, you know, we'll have our playoffs. And it's structured a little bit differently in the Atlantic League as compared to other leagues. We do it by the halves because it is such a revolving door. You know, if you win the first half of your division, you're automatically in the playoffs, no matter what you do in the second half. And same thing with the second half. And we do also have a wild card system. It can get a little confusing in the Atlantic League, but we do have a playoff system. We have it's two rounds, best of five, and we have a lot of fun with it. It's a daily grind. It's 6 months of, you know, traveling all over the place and just trying to, you know, the big goal is always try and win that first half, because then that second half we can kind of set ourselves up for success. But every team is trying to do the same thing. It's very competitive. And that's for us. And for the other leagues, I know all the other leagues, they start in May. It's a 100-game season and same kind of structure with 10 days of spring training. Go right into the season, which is an every single day grind, and then going right into the playoffs and championships.
And how far, like, for you in the Atlantic League, like your furthest trip, you know, the team that's furthest away from you, how far is that?
So we do go up to New York. We play against the Long Island Ducks and the Staten Island Ferry Hawks, formerly of the Staten Island Yankees. So yeah, we'll go all the way up there. Back in 2019, there was a team in Connecticut, in New Britain. So we used to go up there as well. And also in 2019, there was a team in Sugar Land, Texas. So that would be our only team that we were able to fly. We needed to fly there every time that we went there. And usually that would be like a 6-game series. Twice a year, and then come back. And then when they would go on the road, they'd go on the road and they'd hit the Northeast for about 2 weeks straight, and then maybe the Southeast for about 2 weeks straight until they go home, and then they'll be home for about a month straight or so. That's kind of, that was different. Obviously, it's not like that anymore with them out of the league. And now we're all along the East Coast, all the way up from New York, all the way down to North Carolina.
But even so, I mean, a trip from High Point to, you know, Long Island, that's got to be what, 12, 13 hours?
12, 13 hours on a bus. Yeah. Yep. We usually do it overnight. And sometimes, you know, we'll play one night at home, 7 p.m. game. We'll get on the bus by midnight. We head to Long Island. We'll get there around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon for a 6:30 start, for example. So, and, you know, we'll continue to do that until finally we'll hit some kind of off day. But, yeah, we're traveling overnight from city to city. And, you know, it's kind of on the players to be ready and be prepared to compete every single night.
Wow. Talk about a grind. I mean, there is a grind. Wow. So funding, how are the teams funded? How do they get this money to, you know, possibly take a plane ride to Sugarland, Texas? How does that happen?
Well, just like any kind of minor league business, you know, there's sponsorship, ticket sales, you know, there's donations, I would say. I mean, I'm not too educated on that aspect, as I'm not fully in the front office, but it's just like any kind of business and, you know, renting out the stadium for different events. And, you know, it is a lucrative business. They do, you know, these teams do make pretty good money to be able to do this every single year, especially the teams that have been around a long time. But then you also find those teams that they'll come into a league, a brand new team, and then the next year they're gone because they couldn't, you know, financially it just didn't work out in whatever town, the lack of support or sponsorships or whatever the case is. But, yeah, that's a little bit above my pay grade, but there are sponsors, ticket sales, all that kind of goes into it in terms of funding the team.
I was just curious because, again, there's, you know, it seems like there are a tremendous amount of expenses. I don't even care. I know that the players don't make much money. I understand that, but you know, what you have a 40-man roster, 35-man roster, is that right?
We have a 27-man roster.
Oh, okay.
And there's
smaller. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, it is smaller. There is a salary cap. Every league is a different salary cap. I think ours is $55,000 a month. So it that's a kind of thing too, where I work closely with my manager in terms of how are we going to pay these guys and make sure that we're under the cap every single month. And there is a science to it. There is a system to it. But you know, there are also partnerships. For example, for the Rockets, we are partners with our bus company. We're partners with the hotels and. You know, it's everybody just trying to help everybody else out together to kind of make it all work and be successful together.
Yeah, because I mean, I could see that being, you know, a daunting task to, you know, fund it and keep it rolling. And, you know, it sounds like, you know, you've been very successful. The Rockers have been around for 10 years, is it that you said?
No, the Rockers, we started in 2019. That was our first year.
Oh, okay.
The Boulders have been around since 2011. The Rockers have been around since 2019, and we have had success. We have a great fan base. We have a great support system. We've made the playoffs. How many years? Three out of the 4 years that we've been in existence. So, you know, all that factors in as well in terms of having a successful organization and just having the right people around to support it.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you know, if you made the playoffs, what'd you say, 3 out of 4 years? You know, the old saying, everybody loves a winner. So if you keep winning, then you're going to get the support and you're
exactly
gonna be fine.
Yep.
But you know, this is all eye opening to me because, like I said to you, I don't know much about it. And, you know, it's interesting to find another level of baseball that, you know, players can look into and have a great experience.
Absolutely. And that's why we're here. And it is a great experience. We do have a lot of fun. I have stories for endless amount of great stories that I've been able to experience throughout my career and the people I've met. For example, our pitching coach is Frank Viola, former Cy Young Award winner, World Series MVP. He's been with us since the beginning in 2019. He's a guy that, you know, he spent his whole career in the big leagues, and then he coached in the Mets organization for about 10 years in AA, AAA as their pitching coach. And kind of took that leap, left affiliate ball, came to independent baseball, and he's had a blast. He loves it. You know, in affiliate ball, it's more about developing those guys. It's not so much about winning. You know, he came to independent baseball, and that's what it's about. It's about winning. And he's enjoyed it, and we enjoyed him, and what a legend to have on our coaching staff, and for myself to be able to speak to and learn on a daily basis. And we've become very close. It's like a family. I call him Uncle Frank, and that's kind of his nickname now. Forget about Sweet Music is in the past, and he is now just our uncle. He's Uncle Frank, and, you know, we love him, and that's just, you know, just one example of just a great human being and what a great ball player and career he's had that I've been able to spend every single day with in my career. And you see all those kind of legends and those players that are in the league and the guys that are coaching and just being around it and continuing to learn and continuing to grow the game and independent baseball, just having these kind of names around as well kind of helps.
Oh, I'm sure it does. Yeah. It lends credibility to what you're doing, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
That's great. So I, you know, like I said, I got to tell you, this has been a great conversation. Opened my eyes to a lot of things that I didn't know. And, you know, I want everybody out there to know that, look, here's another option. Okay. So you go to college ball, maybe you're looking to possibly get drafted and you don't. So here's another option. You got independent baseball that you could look into and keep it rolling. Bert, I want to thank you for coming on. Is there anything else you want to get out there to our listeners?
Yeah, just as you said, you know, there is another option for these guys, and come check us out at Indie Ball Jobs. That's what we do. We try, it's not just for the Rockers. We try and place you guys where you're going to have some success if you can play at the next level. And we're just starting out with independent baseball. Now we're starting to speak to teams in Asia, teams in Latin America, and try and open up these doors for these players as well as Europe. You know, obviously the goal is to make it to the big leagues financially. That's what you want to do. That's where you'll be successful. However, you know, you can make a lot of money going out to Asia. The Rockers, we send guys to Taiwan, to Korea, to Japan, and they've made a great living out there, and they've been super successful out there. So it's kind of opening up those doors, and out in Europe, just having that experience of playing in a different country that you probably would have never, ever experienced in your life. And that's kind of what we're trying to do. That's our vision with Indie Ball Jobs. And so if anybody's listening, especially the college guys that will go undrafted, look us up, Indie Ball Jobs on Instagram. Shoot us a message, and you know, we'll try and advise you the best that we can, and you know, educate you a little bit about independent baseball and other leagues around the world, and try and help place you somewhere where you will have some success. And who knows? We're still looking for our first big leaguer, so you know, that will be a great day when that happens. And you know, we've had four players sign with major league organizations since we started in 2020 for indie ball jobs. So this is a legitimate route to getting to that major league organization. And once you're there, you know, the sky's the limit from there, and your foot's in the door. So check us out, message us. That's why we're here. We're here to help.
So, you know, you're looking overseas and looking in different countries. How are you doing with that? I mean, are you having success with it? Is it still in its infancy? What's going on with that?
It's still in its very infancy. The Rockers, we've been able to send a lot of guys to Asia. That's kind of opened up the doors. And like myself, who played in Spain, my business partner, Anthony Coromato, who was the bench coach of the Charleston Dirty Birds in the Atlantic League, and now he is the hitting coach for the Savannah Bananas. So that's another avenue of professional baseball that we can help you with. But, you know, we see what we were able to do as players, what our teams are able to do to send players to these countries and these other opportunities. I'm currently in Miami right now watching the Caribbean Series, as we have endless amount of Atlantic League players playing right now in the Caribbean Series, representing their countries, representing their winter ball teams. And, you know, it doesn't just stop at baseball in the United States and independent baseball and minor league baseball. It's going all over the place, and we're just trying to make these connections and get a much larger network for these players to be able to experience.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, expand the game, right? If guys can, like you said, if they can go, because I know that, you know, if you play in Asia, yeah, there's money to be made there. So.
Oh, yeah. It's big time baseball. And, you know, you got to have some kind of pedigree and some kind of resume to kind of go out there. But that's just a different avenue of how we can help players. Yeah, we can help the undrafted college guys, but we can also help double A, triple A, big league guy that was released to try and not only get them back to affiliate ball, but also look at opportunities out in Asia, which is big time baseball, as we know.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you again, Bert, I appreciate you coming on. This is a great, great conversation. And, you know, good luck with everything. I mean, you got a fan now. Like I said, I didn't know much about indie ball, but now I'm really curious. So
that's awesome. I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me on here and talk about independent baseball and indie ball jobs. And for all the guys in the Northeast, come check us out. You know, check our schedule for the High Point Rockers whenever we're in town against the Long Island Ducks or the Staten Island Ferry Hawks. I'd love to see you, love to meet you. And not just for our team, but there's a bunch of independent teams out there in the Northeast as well. So go check them out. And it is high level baseball. And, you know, I don't think you'd be disappointed by going and watching the game.
That's great. It was a pleasure meeting you, pleasure talking with you. And stay in touch. Let me know how things keep going. Yep.
Absolutely. We'll definitely be in touch. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks, Bert. Well, I hope you got as much out of that as I did. What a great guy, and no better person to go to than Bert Gonzalez to get the ins and outs of independent baseball. I think what he's doing with the indie ball jobs is fantastic. This way, players actually have a place to go to. They can put their name in, and then, you know, they can possibly get picked up in another level of professional baseball. I also like the way Bert talked about playing overseas and playing in different countries and, you know, his own experience in playing in Puerto Rico and playing in Spain just shows people that if you want to keep playing baseball, there are many, many places to do it. I mean, high school ball, college ball, minor league ball, overseas, independent baseball, and it's just a wonderful thing. I wish Bert nothing but success as he takes over the helm of the New Jersey Jackals. I wish him all the luck with his indie ball jobs website, and I hope everybody got a lot out of it because I know I certainly did. So, everyone, thanks for listening again. Please hit that subscribe button. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Reach out to us and send us emails. Tell us how you like the show. Tell us if you don't like the show. You know, our email address, as everyone knows, is clearingthebases@gmail.com. And I look forward to hearing from everyone. So I'll leave you with what I always leave you with. And remember, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you on the next one.